to you, O Lord. And the reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, the first 13 verses. And if you want to follow it in the Church Bibles, it's page 1042. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Excuse me, put my other glasses. I could read the screen fine, but when I came to look at my notes, I thought, oh, doesn't look right. We're continuing this morning with the series of sermons we're having on the book, the letter Paul wrote to the Colossians. As you probably know, 10:30 we have a series mapped through, 6:30 we have a series mapped through, and our vicar is so efficient that there is a list of every single sermon between now and the new year, and who's going to preach it at 10:30 and 6:30. All done 3, 4, 5, 6 months in advance. But at 9 o'clock, we have 2 readings, and the preacher can select whichever reading they would like and feel would be appropriate for them to speak about. And for a few weeks now, Colossians has become top of the pops, and I'm going to continue that today. But give you due warning, next week I'm preaching again and we're moving into the gospel, because I couldn't resist preaching about my good old friend, as I call him, Bigger Barnes, the chap who had a wonderful harvest and said, "I'll pack stuff into the barn. I need a bigger barn. Pull down the barn, build bigger barn, and then I'll sit back, eat, drink, and be merry." And God said, "You fool. This is your last day." So that's next Sunday's sermon. We're moving away from Colossians and we're moving into the gospel. So be tempted by it. But the letter to Colossae is written by Paul. Colossae undoubtedly was past its best as a town. It was by far the least important of the churches to whom Paul wrote. He never visited Colossae. And it was probably delivered, this letter. If you remember the book of Philemon, the letter to Philemon Paul wrote, Onesimus was a slave who stole from Philemon, his master, and did a runner, and found himself in Rome, got to know Paul, looked after Paul in prison, became a Christian through Paul. And Paul said after a length of time, I really would like you to stay here, but it's best if you go back to your master. And so Onesimus went back to Philemon, and Paul wrote a letter to Philemon saying, this guy is no longer a thief and a robber. He's now a Christian guy. Take him back. Almost certainly, as Onesimus went back to Philemon, he took with him this letter, a general letter that Paul said, well, while you're going, I'll write a letter to the church there. And this is the letter that he wrote. And almost inevitably, it's to do with confronting heresy. Paul just wrote a general letter and said, look, I hear there's a few problems. Let's address them. So that's the background to the book of Colossians, the letter to the church at Colossae. And the passage that we had read, Marie read a few minutes ago, I thought was a good 9 o'clock passage. I don't want to be rude, and I can probably get away with it at my age, but until Alan and Heather walked in, the average age, we are the more mature of the three congregations that gather at St. Paul's on a Sunday. We'll just leave it at that. And I, as very much part of the mature age group, am conscious in my own Christian faith of the word complacency. Do you feel that? I see Tom and Eileen sitting here who had their diamond wedding. Was it last year or the year before? Pardon?
66 years.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the problems of age. Time sort of flies. But if it was a 6:30 service, I might well say to Tom and Eileen, tell me how different relationship is after all these years. Because relationships change. Inevitably, they change. I suspect they're way beyond saying one lump or two of sugar in your tea, darling. But a relationship becomes a much more solid one, but a very different one. And I find that in my own Christian faith. And I thought today it'd be good if we challenged ourselves on that. And I just want to reread a couple of the verses that Marie read a few moments ago. Paul said, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. Go ahead with what you've been given. You mature Christians, you diamond, golden, ruby, jubilee people. You receive Christ Jesus the Master. Now live with him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. And that, I suspect, is true of many of us. We're a bit hesitant about it. But yeah, we've been there for some years, deeply rooted, well constructed. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. This is typical of the Message version. School's out, quit studying the subject and start living it, and let your living spill over into thanksgiving. I want to challenge us this morning. Complacency. We're well rooted, deeply rooted, well constructed. We know our way round. And a few more verses. Entering into this fullness, faultless in Christ. It's not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. You're insiders, not through some secret initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already done, has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. True of many of us some years back, I suspect in many cases, the water of baptism. Coming out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it, all sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets, which of course is what the victors did to the vanquished in those days, carted them through the streets naked. There's the base you've got, says Paul to the Christians at Colossae. That's the base you've got. That's the base. Quit studying, get out now and live it. Letters to the churches in Revelation. Sardis, the message John gave, was wake up. Ephesus, don't forsake your first love. Laodicea, you're lukewarm. It's very easy as time goes by, these churches in Sardis, Ephesus and Laodicea, to get just into the mould of things and just get on ticking along in life. And very easy to fall asleep, very easy to be lukewarm in our approach. The Christian church started with a few fishermen, and look where it is today. Once the power of Christ, the Spirit of God, gets behind people, whatever age they are, things happen. And I just want to look at three aspects of life, the life that we are living. Roots, growth, and fruit. Our roots. Jesus said in that passage of the sower, chap sowed the seed, you remember? Some fell on stony ground and didn't really get very far. Some fell on the path and never made it at all. Some fell in dense undergrowth and sort of started to spring up but didn't get very far. And Jesus said, this is what it's like for so many people. Those that are seeds stuck in the undergrowth, they're people who've been deceived by wealth. And we're going to talk about that next week. My friend Biggerbarnes, wealth. Stuck in thorns. Others where the roots never really took off. It got through the stone, but never really made it. And it's why we here in St. Paul's emphasise the Bible. Because if you're looking at roots, where do we get our truth from? And Paul says in this letter to the Colossians, some people build on human tradition. Back in the Old Testament, that's extraordinary when you think about it. They built statues, they built icons, and having built them, they worship them. You know, I made it, and then I worship it. It's difficult to get your mind around, but that's exactly what they did. Paul says it's so easy to get caught on human tradition, and that apparently is one of the problems that was around in Colossae, worshipping tradition. What we need is to be worshipping God, and the way we find out about God is through the Bible. Our roots need to be very much biblically based. We need, as Jesus said again in John chapter 15, you remember, I am the vine. And there, Jesus said, look, you as a Christian need to be a branch that is wedged in to the stem of that vine. That's what you need to be. The roots of the stem bring all the goodness up and go into the branch. Roots. Secondly, growth. Have you looked back over the last year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. If we look back, there must be signs of growth. My family, immediate family, are all in Canada, and my great nephew, little Seamus, is now coming up 5, and I frequently get pictures sent to me of his activities. If I don't get pictures for a few months, when I actually get them, I think, my, I just about recognise him. But after a few months, things change at that age. His mum and dad, who are in their late 30s, no problem in recognising them. They don't change too much. But young Seamus changes. We need to ask ourselves whether we have changed and grown in the last year, 2 years, 5 years. Again, back with complacency. It's very easy just to be in the mould. We do the things week by week, and that's fine. But are we actually growing? Are we moving? Are we moving? Jesus talks about pruning in that parable of the vine. I am the vine. He says the good branches get pruned. Question, are we aware of being pruned? It doesn't sound terribly pleasant, but when you look at the roses and so on, you see the impact it makes. I'm conscious when I look back that I've been pruned. I used to spend hours of time in young people's work. Great time with the youngsters, rushing home from the office on a Friday, chucking off my suit, putting some old clothes on and down in the park, sorting out squabbles to whether it was a goal or whether it wasn't. And on a Sunday, sitting down with a group of youngsters and talking about the Bible. That's been pruned. I don't do that anymore. But what I do is, well, here I am, standing here. I wasn't doing too much of that in those days. I was so heavily involved in young people's work. You change. It's great that we've got this mentoring group that we're now looking at in St. Paul's. I had a trainee day a couple of weeks ago. The scope for many of us in the mature age group to mentor, to be able to sit and just talk through and pray through with folk is massive. One of the youth organisations that I'm the treasurer of did a survey amongst the young people, and top of the list of the things that kids missed was grandparents. Where there'd been family splits and they'd lost grandparents, or alternatively they died, these youngsters said the thing we miss most is grandparents. The scope we have for mentoring, the scope we have for prayer in our mature years, it may be we can't rush around. We change. And my question today, as I look at this whole concept of complacency, can you look back over a year, two, five, and say, yeah, I've changed in my Christian growth? Things are different, not dramatically different, but I'm quite sure Tom and Arlene could say in their life together, things have changed over those years. And that's what needs to happen. If there's life, there's change. And it's so easy for us as Christians not to change, just to say, we're there and it's great, we can stay there. We don't move forward, backward, sideways, we're just there. Let's ask ourselves the question today. And finally, fruit. As I said earlier on, fruit comes automatically on the tree, flowers, from the roots that are there. I'd just like to leave one thought with you as I finish this morning. Every impact leaves a mark. Just think about that. Every impact leaves a mark. I saw a couple of folk recently, and one of them said, oh, Glyn, do you remember? And when I really dredged my memory, I did think I could remember. He said, that changed my life. A girl said, do you remember? And I certainly didn't remember talking with her. She thought in the church hall at Cheam Baptist Church. I have no idea what it was about. But she said, your eyes never left mine. We talked and you were listening. And that made a great impact on me. That's the sort of fruit that we need to be seeing. The impact that is made. A lad at the annual meeting of Oxygen, the youth program in Kingston, at the end of the annual meeting the other day, Vanessa will tell you she was there. Meeting closed, a little lad, 14-year-old, stood up and said, can I say something? And said, if it wasn't for Oxygen, and Oxygen means the people who are involved, I'd be in jail. Every impact leaves a mark. The fruit comes as we impact with people. Complacency, yes, but let's impact that the good news of Jesus will strike people and leave a mark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And Father, help us as the more mature congregation here at St. Paul's to be shaken out of any complacency we've got, but to look at our life, to look at where our roots are, to see what growth there's been, and to see where there's evidence of fruit. Father, help us. May your Spirit be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.